Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the faith that scare ya. Machado or Bado or no.
Scott,
Chris,
we can take our time now. We can luxuriate in this episode of the podcast. We don't have to rush.
We don't have to, but it was so much fun.
I thought it was a good podcast, all things considered.
I think so, too. It got a mixed response. I think some people are just resistant to difference.
Well, you know, got to hear both sides.
Yeah.
I think we had two specific Twitter responses. One was, love the shorter podcast. It's great. The other one was, I hate the shorter podcast. Adam Major, come back. We hate Chris Towers. I think that was generally the two responses. So
Yeah.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. I'm Chris Towers. That's Scott White. I thought we'd go a little looser to open things up.
Yeah, loosey-goosey. I like it.
I don't know. Monday, there were some big performances on Monday, but there were only 9 games, so it was kind of a lighter schedule. There wasn't a ton of news, so we've got time. We've got time to look ahead to next season. We've got time to get to emails. We're going to do both of those things a little later on in the show. But there was some big news yesterday. Steven Strasburg, right after we finished recording yesterday's podcast, actually, placed on the disabled list with an elbow injury. The Nationals do not seem concerned. They said, you know, if it was the playoffs, he would be able to pitch through it. It's not a structural issue. They're not concerned about his elbow structurally, at least based on the post-extension physicals that he undertook. So, are you concerned about this?
Concerned. No, I don't think that's my reaction. My reaction is actually a little bit relief. And I know that always seems weird when a guy goes on the DL, but he was so bad those last 3 starts. Yes. His ERA rose by like more than a run that... I'm glad there's something physically wrong with him, and he hasn't just forgotten how to pitch.
To a point. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like a mild case of whatever it is. They pulled back from Bryce Harper for a week, and suddenly he's Bryce Harper again. Yeah. So maybe they'll have the same success applying it to Steven Strasburg.
But this does really screw over his fantasy owners, because this news came out a little bit after lineup lock yesterday.
Right.
You're going to lose at least 2 weeks of Steven Strasburg. There's only 4 weeks left in the season, 3 weeks after this one, I think.
Right. But here's the thing. I mean, bad timing because it was a 2-start week, and you probably just started him only because of that. I mean, I ranked the 2-start pitchers last week. I ranked him lower than I'd normally rank Steven Strasburg, but he was still in the top 10. So if he was only making 1 start, we probably all would have all been sitting him. So, I mean, obviously it's very bad for this week, but next week, for getting him right for the stretch run, I think it's worth it. I think it's a worthy trade off, and I think that's ultimately what's going to be happening. Going to happen here. It's going to be a minimal stay on the DL, and he'll get back, and we'll forget this whole ugly episode ever happened.
So you're not dropping Steven Strasburg?
No, I'm not.
What if your playoffs start next week?
Well, I still want him on my team.
Okay.
For hoping I advance further in the playoffs and have him for the final 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold on to him.
Someone that you... I don't know if anybody dropped Adrian Gonzalez this season, but you might have considered it. He got off to a very bad start and really wasn't any good from May through most of July, really. But he had 3 home runs, 8 RBI, a truly massive performance on Monday against the Reds. I think he has 6 home runs and 16 at-bats against Homer Bailey now in his career, something like that.
Wow. I mean, not all 3 of these came against him. Right?
No, only one of them came only against one. Homer Bailey. Right. Homer Bailey was chased from that game very quickly.
He didn't last long, no.
But Adrian Gonzalez all of a sudden has 8 home runs since the All-Star break, only 33 games. He had 7 in 87 games in the first half of the season, hitting .320 with a .935 OPS. What do you think of Adrian Gonzalez now?
Well, it's really like a 2-week stretch where he's become a different player. 6 of those 8 home runs in his last 15 games, 7 doubles also in those 15 games. So the power that was absent all year is suddenly there, and there seems to be an explanation for it. Way back in May, you'll remember he missed time with a sore back. He got an epidural. We didn't think much of it at the time.
Yeah.
But apparently we should have, because apparently it had a big impact on his swing and the amount of leverage he was able to get with his lower body, and he just couldn't hit for power. And obviously it showed, and now he's feeling better, and that shows too. So, I was
done.
To the point of dropping him, but sitting him. I mean,
I was done with Adrian Gonzalez in early July.
I thought he was just old.
Yeah, he's 35. He was pretty mediocre for most of last season, too, to be honest.
Well, that's kind of been, like, Adrian Gonzalez isn't, like, a power hitter,
yeah.
And he hasn't been in a while. There's been a couple years, I think, where one big month is kind of had him approaching 30 homers.
Mm-hmm.
I think of him as more of a, I guess, Eric Hosmer type.
Okay.
And I think he's back to being that. So that's still startable. You know, he's back to being startable. As hot as he is, I mean, that probably goes without saying. But
yeah.
I think he's mostly back.
One other note from Monday's game before we get to the news and some of the some of the actual results for Monday's games. Andrew Miller got the save on Monday. Cody Allen did throw 30 pitches on Sunday, so there is some reason to believe that that was just Cody Allen getting the day off. However, he hadn't pitched in the previous 3 days, so is this a situation that you're worried about?
Oh, it's a situation. I mean, worried? I guess maybe if you're a Cody Allen owner, that's you might worry, but you should have already been worried. Because it's just not clear how the Indians... It becomes less clear, really, with every save, how the Indians are going to approach this. And, you know, the fact that Miller was facing 3 right-handers, you did mention the pitch count for Allen the day before, but it was his first day pitching in 4 days,
yeah.
So you'd think he'd be available. It just seems like it's at the whim of Terry Francona, who he goes with. And there does seem to be a lot of reason behind it, and that's not where fantasy owners would like that to go. They like predictability,
yeah.
Particularly since it's such a valuable stat.
Are you willing to downgrade both of them in your rankings?
If anything, not any more than I already had. I mean, my stance on this has pretty much been, I think, Miller in the long run is going to get the majority of the opportunities. So every time he gets one,
just move him up one spot.
Yeah. That just kind of reaffirms what I was already thinking and what my rankings already reflect. So, roto leagues, I think you need to hold on to both head to head, maybe neither, until one clearly emerges as the guy.
Okay. Let's move on to some of the other big news from Monday's game. Charlie Blackmon missed his 4th straight game with a toe injury. You know, we're at a weird point in the season when it comes to injuries, in that the roster expansion is, what, 8 days away?
Yes.
So some teams might not even bother putting guys on the DL. Some teams might be willing to put guys on the DL for injuries that wouldn't otherwise necessitate a DL spot, just because they're going to have the extra roster spot in 8 days anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's hard to say what's going on with Blackmon, how long this injury is going to be. He is currently day-to-day, so keep that in mind. AJ Pollock could be back this week. That would be huge. That would be... do you expect AJ Pollock to be AJ Pollock?
Yeah, I do. And you know, I'm a little fearful of being that optimistic. It would be nice if he came back midweek so we could see how he does over a weekend first before getting him back in the lineup. But just based on the way his rehab assignment's going, I mean, he's
hitting .433 with a .1274 OPS in 10 games.
7 walks to 1 strikeout.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That that's what AJ Pollock should be doing against minor league pitching. Yes. So, yeah, I'm very excited, and everybody should be.
Steven Matz was placed on the DL retroactive to August 15th with a shoulder injury. Shelby Miller will make no more than one start at AAA. He's been good lately.
Yeah, I was looking at that earlier.
He seems to have figured out some of his control problems. Only 3 walks in his last 4 starts. 2.54 ERA, 31 strikeouts in that time.
I am still a little concerned by the number of hits he's giving up to AAA hitters, but he's not just an embarrassment out there right now. He's pitching deep into games, getting strikeouts.
Yeah.
Seems like he may have figured something out.
Yeah, worth a stash, worth picking up in a deeper league right now?
It'd have to be pretty deep, okay. I think. If he comes back, first start back, he strikes out 9 in 6 innings or something, then maybe I react and take a flyer on him in kind of a Homer Bailey sort of way.
Yeah.
And hope it doesn't backfire. Which, by the way, I don't think Homer Bailey... Like, I don't think we should be dumping Homer Bailey all of a sudden if we were picking him up.
We are going to talk a little bit of... we're going to get a little Homer Bailey talk a little later on in the show so we can get our thoughts in on there. I do want to check one thing because I think Andrew Miller did have that stretch where he went on the DL, he came back... Shelby Miller, sorry.
Yeah.
Nah, he wasn't that good. He had one decent start when he came back. Yeah, it's been a rough season for Shelby Miller. Taijuan Walker will get the start today against the New York Yankees. So if he pitches well tonight, if he's out there on waiver wires, you going to have to get him?
Oh, I'd think about it. It would have to be a pretty impressive start in terms of strikeouts, which have come and gone for him this year. And just obviously... showing he can pitch deep into a game coming off that foot injury. That was an issue for him beforehand.
Steven Wright will throw a bullpen session today. If all goes well, he could be back by Friday. And the Nationals have talked to Joe Ross about possibly returning as a reliever because, well, the minor league season's about to end in about 10 days, and there's just not enough time to get him stretched out. So that probably... finishes the season for Joe Ross as a fantasy relevant player, right?
Probably. I mean, there's a chance. I guess they keep extending his workload in long relief, and maybe he'll make a spot start or two down the stretch. But I don't think you're stashing him for that purpose outside of like an NL only league.
Okay. Before we move on to Monday's action, gentlemen, it's time to start shaving the right way. Use Harry's razors. Go to harrys.com. That's HARRYS.com. Find out why we love Harry's razors so much. We can save you some money, too, with our offer code FBT. We'll tell you about that deal in a minute. I just started using Harry's razors a few weeks ago. We got a box in, and I'm sold. Harry's razors are super sharp. You get a close, comfortable shave. Their moisturizing shave cream smells great, and it's actually, guys, this stuff is phenomenal for your skin. Makes your skin so soft. Scott, if you want to feel my skin, it's great.
I'll take your word for it.
And really what it comes down to is we're all tired of paying crazy prices to shave. Harry's makes its own high-quality razors. They cut out the middleman and ship them directly to you for half the price of the leading brand. You get a great shave for a great price. Check out this offer on harrys.com. Harry's starter set called the Truman is a great option for new customers and an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 of Harry's 5-blade German-engineered razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of fantasy baseball today. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with a promo code FBT. Go to harrys.com right now and look for the Truman set. That's HARRYS.com. Enter FBT at checkout and get $5 off and help support the show. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. Scott, we are going to compare some of the pitchers who took the mound on Monday. You ready?
Okay.
We're going to go through what they did yesterday and then talk about who you would rather have for the rest of the season. We're calling it Would You Rather, parentheses, ROS.
Okay.
You got it?
I got it.
It's a complicated game.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of player rankings we do. But
sure.
Hopefully I don't. Well, I don't know. Maybe educational. Maybe I'll contradict them and have to make a change.
There we go. Last night, David Price, 8 innings, two hits, no runs, eight strikeouts, two walks against the Tampa Bay Rays. He got a little bit of help from Andrew Benintendi. I believe he robbed a home run late in that game. Got his ERA to 4.0. That's the lowest it's been since the second start of the season for David Price. We also had Carlos Carrasco, eight shutout innings, nine strikeouts against the A's. No. Yeah.
Against the A's? I think that's right, yeah.
And John Lester, six innings, one run, eight strikeouts. He's got a 2.81 ERA on the season. Rank those three pitchers.
I will go Lester, followed by Price and Carrasco.
Okay.
I feel like Lester it's just been a model of consistency this year. Apart from that, I think it was a two-start stretch before
we never
the All-Star
talked about
break.
It. Yeah. I feel like I don't think we've said the name John Lester at all this season.
Yeah, I mean, kind of don't need to. Everybody knows exactly what to do with him.
Yeah.
Just start him, always. Price and Carrasco both. I mean, Price, it's been going on all season, but yeah. Carrasco recently has had some head-scratcher performances. I know it was just a couple weeks ago I was worrying if he was the strikeout pitcher we thought him to be. And then, of course, in his last three starts, 37 strikeouts, 28 and two-thirds innings. So, yes, he is a strikeout pitcher, but there have been a lot of other issues going on then, a lot of more earned runs given up than you'd expect. Obviously, this start is a step in the right direction. But that's why I lean Price over him. I don't think you're really sitting either ever.
Yeah.
They're just a little more worrisome than Lester.
It is nice to see David Price do that against the Rays, who are a pretty good team, offense against left-handed pitching at least. So that's a good sign for him.
Yes. And it was away from Fenway where he has given up more home runs.
Yeah.
He still almost gave up a home run in this one. Home runs still seem to be the issue for him.
I feel like David Price is going to have an absolutely monstrous 2017.
I think that's plausible. I think it's likely. I think I will rank him certainly as if he'll improve from this year. I'll rank him as if this year never happened, basically, because
a lot of the
underlying numbers are still so good that I don't think he's really changed too much as a pitcher.
Let's compare two much lower-end guys who have been worth giving a chance lately. Homer Bailey bit fantasy owners who gave him a chance this week with six earned runs on nine hits in 2 1/3 innings, no strikeouts, one walk allowed. The Dodgers absolutely crushed him. Or would you rather have Dylan Bundy, who was solid against the Washington Nationals, six innings, two runs, but only four strikeouts, four walks. He's got nine strikeouts, eight walks in his last three starts. The strikeout rate has completely collapsed for Dylan Bundy. Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Bundy.
Okay.
It is just three starts.
Yeah.
And
he had nine
strikeouts in the start before that.
He's only made about seven starts, right?
Yeah.
So three starts represents about 45% of his entire major league career so far.
Yeah, I know. But it's three starts where, for the most part, I know the last one wasn't so great, but for the most part, he's gotten away with having a low strikeout rate. And we know he has the strikeout ability. I don't think that's disappeared. The main difference is I think people are asking themselves today whether they should drop Homer Bailey, and they're definitely not asking themselves that about Bundy. And I think the answer to both is no.
Yeah.
But I could at least understand, depending on what's on waivers, maybe letting go of Bailey. I just think there are going to be, both he and I think it was his manager, Brian Price, were talking yesterday about the rehabilitation from Tommy John surgery, which is an ongoing thing for Bailey. I mean, he's still very newly returned from that. And Bailey describes it as just like a dullness he feels occasionally. He goes out there and it just feels like everything's not as sharp as it should be. And it happened to him once already in this time in the majors, but then there's been three starts that have been great.
Yeah.
So I mean, you got to be careful with him. He may be limited to just two starts or a really favorable matchups when you use him going forward, but I still think there's a lot to like there.
Let's talk about two pitchers, one of whom has been really good this season and gets absolutely nobody excited about his fantasy prospects, and another pitcher who has been absolutely awful for most of the last 2 years and still somehow gets hyped. They are both owned in identical amounts of leagues. That would be Doug Fister, who was great again last night against the Pirates, 7 shutout innings, 6 strikeouts. Or Michael Pineda, who went 5 1/3, gave up 5 runs with 6 strikeouts. Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Fister. I mean,
he's owned in 84%. Michael Pineda's owned in 83%.
These are two pitchers with confounding ratios.
On completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. It doesn't really make a lot of sense what they're doing, and yet they both... Like, this isn't the first time we've seen each of them go this direction, you know? I mean, Pineda, his struggles date back to last August, and Fister, really prior to last year, he had emerged as a reliable pitcher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not excited to start Fister. I probably wouldn't start him in a one-start week in a standard mixed league, but he was pretty high on that two-start list for me this week. And him being relief pitcher eligible also gives him a nice boost in points leagues.
I do want to look at, you said Michael Pineda since last August. I want to see how bad he's been over the last calendar year. Yep, 5.13 ERA, but 9.7 Ks per nine. He's too dang hittable. And that just, it's hard to get past that. To talk about two rookie pitchers, one of whom came in with a lot of hype, the other one wasn't even the most hyped rookie prospect on his team. Jameson Taillon, very good start last night against Houston. 8 strikeouts in 8 innings, 2 runs allowed. Had 9 swinging strikes. He's had 7 straight quality starts since the All-Star break. Would you rather have him or Blake Snell, who this is one that I think you give him a mulligan for. It's against Boston, the best offense in baseball. Gave up 2 runs in 3 2/3, walked 5, wasn't efficient at all. Who would you rather have for the rest of the season, Blake Snell or Jameson Taillon?
Taillon, and I don't think it's especially close. I mean, Snell has had big walk issues lately, like he did. That was a problem for him throughout his minor league career, too. He just was able to blow those hitters away. And I think it's part of him maturing as a pitcher.
He has not thrown 6 innings in a start since July 24th.
Yeah. He, I forget who it was who said it, but it was pointed out that he had a lot of 0-2 counts and just couldn't put the pitchers away, was wasting too many pitches, which,
sounds about right.
He has the ability, he's just not really sure how to attack major league hitters yet, because he, like I said, he can't get away with the same stuff in the majors that he did in the minors, and he's going to figure that out eventually. I'm just not confident it'll be in September.
Yeah.
Taillon seems to already... I mean, when's the last time he had a bad start?
Well, 7 straight quality starts.
Yeah, exactly. And I think...
2.35 ERA, 39 strikeouts, only 5 walks in 46 innings since the All-Star break.
Such good control. Yeah. And actually, I was listening to Keith Law the other day, and he was talking about how... He was actually saying Taillon's command isn't even that fully developed yet. Mm-hmm. Like, great control, but command...
Always
the difference. Like, control's the ability to throw strikes, command's the ability to put the pitch exactly where you want to put it. And I think if that's true, I mean, if he has improvement to make there, I think he's could even get better overall. We could see him become more of a strikeout pitcher when that happens.
You know, we forgot about him, kind of rightly so, because he hadn't pitched in 2 years, and what he's done this season is really impressive when you consider the fact that, again, he hadn't pitched in 2 years. He had not thrown a single pitch in a competitive game in 2 seasons. This was a guy who was one of the top picks in the draft, I believe, was a top prospect.
Oh, he was drafted right behind Bryce Harper, right? Bryce Harper and Manny Machado.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so he's having a really good season. It's nice to see. Scott Kazmir will see a doctor for back and neck issues. He struggled yesterday in that game against the Reds. 2 2/3 innings, gave up 4 runs, 3 walks, only 1 strikeout. Would you rather have him for the rest of the season or Jimmy Nelson, who might be turning it around? 6 innings, 2 runs allowed against the Rockies yesterday.
I think this is where I pick up a middle reliever and just bolster those ERA and WHIP ratios and forget about these two because they're doing more harm than good.
Any interest in A.J. Cole, who was good in a spot start against the Orioles? 7 innings, four runs, not great, but that was mostly just he basically made three bad pitches. He had a double. I think he had the Trumbo, Machado, Chris Davis combo in the lineup. He gave up two doubles and a home run to Manny Machado, and that was kind of most of the damage. But he had 8 strikeouts. Swinging strike rate was decent. Do you like A.J. Cole, or would you rather just save a roster spot for some waiver wire pitchers?
I'd rather save a roster spot. I mean, Cole has been considered a prospect in the past, but he
has had 2 separate stints as a Baseball America Top 100 prospect.
Yeah.
3 years apart.
Right, and he wasn't... The strikeout rate at AAA wasn't impressive.
Yeah.
I think he was giving up 1.2 home runs per nine, which you don't. You rarely see good pitchers give up a lot of home runs in the minors, even fly ball ones. It just doesn't happen much. So I would need to see a lot more of this before I buy into Cole.
Let's talk about some of the hitters from Monday. Gary Sanchez, 3-for-4, 2 more home runs. He's must-own. There's no question.
Yes, absolutely. In fact,
I think he's only about 80-85%, or at least he was yesterday.
I'm working on a column with kind of some bold predictions for 2017.
Okay.
And I think basically Gary Sanchez is a top 5 catcher next year. And I'd even go a step further. I feel like I've seen enough from him and how the Yankees are going to approach him, meaning I feel like they value his bat enough to keep him in the lineup even when he needs to rest as a catcher, like put him at DH. So he'll have the nice at bats built in there. He'll have some extra bats built in there. I think next year, like, it's going to be Posey and Ramos on the NL All-Star team, Lucroy and Sanchez on the AL All-Star team. Like, there's going to be a distinct top 4 at that position.
Okay. And so Sanchez, you would put Gary Sanchez over a catcher-eligible Kyle Schwarber?
If Kyle Schwarber becomes catcher eligible,
that would
be something to think about. But, you know, actually, I might lean that way. Anyway, assuming Kyle Schwarber does, I might lean that way because of the at-bats issue.
Yeah.
I feel like the Cubs, with all their depth, they might sit Schwarber a lot against left-handers. And I think Sanchez is going to play pretty close to every day, Posey-like, in the playing time.
Another guy who's been playing every day since he got called up. Jose Peraza, 3 straight starts, and he has been tremendous. 4 more hits yesterday. He had 2 doubles and 3 runs yesterday. Overall, 9-for-15, 5 runs in 3 games. What's going on with Jose Peraza?
He's filling in for Zach Cozart right now.
Yeah.
So playing time could be
an issue going
forward.
It's possible he can get time in the outfield.
Yeah, he can play outfield. He can play second, and they're talking about keeping him up to play that super utility role. But if it's not every day, I don't know that there's enough here, except for maybe in roto leagues where has the triple eligibility and can deliver stolen bases. During this 9-for-15 stretch, he hasn't had one, but he can steal bases.
3 extra base hits in that time, I believe.
Yeah.
So not a lot of opportunities to steal bases so far.
True.
Someone else who not going to ever steal a base, Freddie Freeman. But since the All-Star break, he has been tremendous. He missed Sunday's game with a finger injury, had a cortisone shot, was back in the lineup on Monday, hit 2 more home runs. He's hitting .305 with a .656 slugging percentage and OPS well over 1,000 since the All-Star break. What's going on with Freddie Freeman?
I mean, he already has a career high in home runs.
Yep.
And he's on pace for 34, which would blow out his previous career high. I know there have been times this year, I mean, obviously predating this hot streak, where I thought he might be droppable because of the supporting cast. And even though he's on pace for 34 home runs, he's only on pace for 79 RBI. So it's not like that's changed. But it doesn't matter when you're hitting this many home runs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so valuable in and of themselves. And Freeman you know, not just during this hot streak, but now overall on the season, he has passed Mark Trumbo, who's on a 50-homer pace.
There you go.
In head-to-head points to date. He's in the top 10 among first basemen, so definitely must start now.
Another guy who's been red hot, Mike Zunino, 3 straight games with a home run. Where are you putting Mike Zunino in your catcher rankings?
Top 15, top 16, somewhere around there, and obviously room to improve. I don't like that he's still striking out every third at bat, but he does seem like a different hitter this time around. He's walking more, which is something he was supposed to do originally. He was a former third overall pick and just got rushed to the majors and seemed like he was always trying to play catch-up. But he got a long stint at AAA this year and seemed to become regain the patience he once had, and it's translated to better production here. Definitely somebody who's overlooked right now, and at least in 2 catcher leagues.
And Danny Espinosa ended a long homerless streak, hit his first home run since he had 2 home runs on July 3rd. Xander Bogaerts also hit his first home run of August, which is a good sign because I believe he had a sub 450 OPS coming into yesterday's game in the month of August.
Now, Bogaerts was so good at the start of the season that it's really kind of gotten lost how bad he's been lately. And by lately, I mean a couple months. First 61 game. This is a 61 game versus a 58 game split, okay. So nearly dead even. First 61, .359 batting average. Last 58, .256 batting average, only a .677 OPS. And you look at the BABIPs during those stretches, first 61 games, .408. Clearly wasn't something that was going to last. But during these last 58, it's been .286. It hasn't been, I mean, it's been low.
Yeah, it's low, but
and
he's someone that you
crazy would low.
He's someone that I would expect to be a little bit of a higher BABIP guy just because he had so many ground balls and line drives. But I've been a Xander Bogaerts skeptic, especially when it comes to the power. So,
well, I mean, that might be the development of his power is going to determine how good of a shortstop he is in the long run, because right now so much of his value is dependent on batting average, and that's been inflated for the most part. I do think he could be a 290, 300 hitter.
That's prone to fluctuation.
Yeah, it is anyway. I think the clear takeaway from this, and I need to make the change in my rankings to reflect it, is that Francisco Lindor and Corey Seager both are more valuable than Bogaerts to me now and looking into next year. Bogaerts will still be top 5 because I don't think there is a better clear 5th guy, Correa and Machado being the other 2, of course. But he's behind those others, I think.
Okay, that's it for... did I miss anything for Monday, Scott? Is there anything else you want to talk about? Real quick, give me bullet points.
Ken Giles.
Yes.
He got his 3rd save since taking over as closer. He's given up a run in all 3 of those save chances.
He's pitching to the score.
That concerns me. I don't think he has a vice grip on that role, so obviously they have alternatives. Still like it to be him, but... Yeah. That's something that we need to pay attention to. Addison Russell, I think he's going to be somebody who I hype in that 2017 preview column. 6 home runs in his last 12 games. He's really on fire right now. And
the one thing I do wonder, though, he's on pace for close to 90, probably 85 to 90 RBI, right? He's got 67 right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a sleeper he might be.
Well, I think he could get even better from here.
Okay.
I think he has the upside to contend with somebody like Bogaerts for their 5th spot. When right now, I mean, I don't know exactly where he ranks on that. I know in my rankings he's been outside the top 15 shortstops most of the year. Maybe with this power surge I need to change that.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about next season right after this word from FanDuel. Hey, if your fantasy season ended, if you missed the playoffs, guess what? It's never over on FanDuel.com, not until the last day of the season. Play some daily fantasy baseball and do that on FanDuel.com. It's easy to use. It's really fun. It's challenging, but also enjoyable. FanDuel lets you test your skills and what you learn on this podcast against other fantasy baseball fans to see how you stack up. I play on FanDuel all the time, multiple lineups every day. Play as often or as little as you want. FanDuel contests start at just $1, and you can win a lot of money on FanDuel. So why not get started now? Special offer for new users. Enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our offer code HOMERUN. That's HOMERUN on FanDuel.com. So, got any thought? Any more thoughts on Addison Russell?
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe he has a lot of room to improve here in terms of pitch recognition. Looking at his soft contact percentage, it's on the high side, and sub 300 BABIP. But the strikeout rate has greatly improved from last year. I think maybe it could improve more. And I just think, when these guys were coming up in the minors, it was a clear block. I mean, all these guys were in the top 10 overall prospects. Correa, Seager, Lindor, and Russell was right there with them. So, I mean, they've been instant successes, but it doesn't always go that way. And I think we're seeing enough improvement for Russell from this year from last year that I like the trajectory he's on and think there could be even more to come next year.
Okay, well, let's do some more would you rathers, but this is for looking ahead to next season. We're going to do different positions. We'll look at some pitchers. We'll look at some second baseman, first baseman, all kinds of different stuff. But first, would you rather Jose Altuve or Mike Trout? And I guess we can throw in Mookie Betts and Josh Donaldson in there as well. Who's your number one pick next season?
Yeah, this is actually kind of preempting a column. I think it's finally going to go up today.
Finally,
yeah. Long teased. Mike Trout, I think, is my number one.
Okay.
You could make a case for any of the four. I don't think you could go wrong with any of the four. But I think the one that has the highest probability of going wrong is Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
Because his, even assuming he keeps the power growth this year, his two standout categories are still batting average and stolen bases, and those are the ones with the most room to fluctuate from year to year. We kind of referred to batting average already with Bogarts.
I would also just say, like, the amazing thing about Mike Trout is, like, last season, Bryce Harper has the best possible version of a Bryce Harper season, and he's just a little bit better than Mike Trout.
Yeah.
This season, Jose Altuve has the best possible version of Jose Altuve's season, and he's been a little bit better than Mike Trout. And it's just like, Mike Trout has not had his best case scenario season yet. Like, that's the thing. That's the crazy thing about Mike Trout is, like, we haven't seen that, like, 380 BABIP, 25 home run to fly ball ratio season from him.
That's a good point. I was thinking Trout more for security reasons.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that his baseline, like the standard Mike Trout you're going to get every season, is as good as the best of everybody else.
Well, last year the stolen bases disappeared. We kind of assumed that was going to continue. Turns out it hasn't. He's over 20 again this year.
Mm-hmm.
But last year he also hit a career high 41 home runs. He may not even get to 30 this year, and yet he's still in the same conversation as these other guys with that big of a drop in home runs. I don't think this is that was the last 40 home run season we've seen from Trout. So you're right. There could be that season where he delivers the best of everything and is just far and away the best hitter.
Okay, which third baseman would you rather have next season? Chris Bryant, currently the number one third baseman number one first baseman in rotisserie leagues. Nolan Arenado, currently the number two third baseman, or Josh Donaldson, currently the number three third baseman?
I wonder, I think those might actually be reversed in points.
Okay.
Which is an indication of just how close together they are. However, they're close together with Donaldson in the middle of a cold streak and these other two guys in the middle of a hot streak. I think there's still a distinction here between Donaldson and these others. They're all going to go in the first round. But Donaldson, to me, is clearly the first choice. And he's among those four that I would consider for the first overall pick. Really, the main thing that holds him back is he's going to be 31 next year.
Yeah, but he's like a young 31. You know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just, and I kind of wrote about this, like, because I'm saying these bad things about the very best hitters in baseball. And it's like, you know, when you're trying to decide between these players this high end, you really have to nitpick and use your imagination to come up with ways how things are going to go wrong that probably aren't going to go wrong. That's what you have to do, though.
You hinted at this one. I think I know the answer. Jean Segura is the number 5 shortstop in baseball right now in rotisserie leagues. Francisco Lindor is number 6. Does Jean Segura get into that top 5 conversation? You would definitely rather have Lindor, right?
Definitely would. Segura, that he's been able to keep it up all season and really seems to have gotten better recently. Is an amazing feat. I've had to have some.
I've been very loudly and confidently wrong about Jean Segura for a very long time this season.
Yeah, I've had to kind of come to grips with what he's doing too in my rankings and at least get him in the top 10. But I mean, he's on a 40-something double pace, so it's
11 home runs, could get to 15.
Yeah, it's not like he's the powerless hitter he looked like his last couple years in Milwaukee. And I mean, I kind of feel like after that, I think it was 2013 season he had, where he was the best shortstop in fantasy for the first half and then collapsed in the second half. But you know, I was willing to give him a pass for that second half. I liked the skill set. I was believing in him, and obviously that one backfired. So I kind of have this hesitance to buy into Segura again on that level. But a full season of it now, I mean, I don't know. Somebody who's going to get drafted in the first 7-8 rounds, I would think, next year.
Okay. Let's talk about two players who, the way they've played this season, probably shouldn't be drafted in the first 7 rounds. They have not been worth their high draft rates this season. That's Andrew McCutchen or Lorenzo Cain. Who would you rather have next season?
McCutchen.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot more of a track record there. A much more patient hitter historically.
Has been worse on a per-game basis than Cain this season, though.
Which is surprising, but I don't feel like either has been a success on a per-game basis.
No, they are right. They are 142nd overall for Andrew McCutchen, 145th for Lorenzo Cain.
I would guess if I was ranking today, McCutchen would still be a top 20 outfielder for me next year. Cain might not be top 40. So there's a big enough gap there. Where if Cain, I feel like Cain, with his skill set, if he's not on with everything like he was last year, he's pretty fringy, and we're seeing that this year.
Two second basemen who have had rather disappointing seasons, I would say. Rougned Odor, the number 7 second baseman, or Anthony Rendon, the number 9 second baseman. Who would you rather have?
Ooh, that is a good question. Yeah, I've had to... We were just talking yesterday, you, Heath, and I, about Odor and you know, whether or not this season should be classified as a disappointment. Because it's been a good season.
Yeah. But he's going to end up with a bunch of home runs, some good RBI totals.
But he hasn't taken
walks.
Like, for as many steps forward, walks.
Any walks.
Like, last year he has
12 more walks than I do this season.
Last year he was a below average walk guy. Yeah. And, you know, I thought there was a lot of upside despite that. But if you're walking 15 times in a season... you need to hit a lot of home runs to make up for it, and he has this year. But I'm not really sure what to project for him going forward. When Rendon, I mean, with the way he's turned his season around, he's kind of lived up to every expectation we had for him coming into the year. So I feel like he's much safer, and I'd rather go with him.
Giancarlo Stanton or Yoenis Cespedes.
Stanton.
Because Cespedes has sustained what he did after the All-Star break last year, after that trade. Something about playing in New York turns him into turns him into the actual superstar people had assumed he was for years.
Well, and I'm going to try and remember this off the top of my head. I did some research on this after he... Well, really, this past off season when I was trying to decide how high to rank him. And what I came up with, yeah, and it still holds true this year. His fly ball percentage, his very first year in Oakland when he was also a stud.
Yeah.
was about 40%, a little under 40%. The next 2 years, it was between 45 and 50. And then the last 2 years, since joining the Mets, it's been back where it was that rookie season. So the story I made up in my head.
Better all-around hitter selling out for power less?
Yes. Like, the success he had that rookie year went to his head, and yeah. He thought he was going to hit 50 home runs. And so he was elevating everything, and that was detrimental to his batting average. And he's figured out that he doesn't need to do that to be a really good hitter. But to get back to your original question, I do think he is as injury-prone as Stanton. He hasn't had the
serious injuries.
Yeah, which in a way are actually is a point for Stanton, because those
they're just
serious
random.
Ones are so, yeah, they're just,
it's just different injuries every time.
And it's been so consistent that I wouldn't want to bet against it for Stanton. I don't think either of these guys is going to be a top three round player for me next year, but okay. I don't think Cespedes has an advantage over Stanton on that front. And I'll still give Stanton and his superior upside the nod.
Okay, let's go through some pitchers real quick, and then we'll finish off the show with some emails. If you want to get your email read, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. But first, who's your number two pitcher off the board next season? Is it Max Scherzer, the number one pitcher this season? Is it Madison Bumgarner, the number two pitcher? Or is it Chris Sale, who is surprisingly the number four pitcher in rotisserie leagues?
I'm probably going to go Bumgarner because so reliable. It's just so reliable. Maybe Scherzer. I'll look closer at it because, I mean, the strikeout total for Scherzer is...
Really
could be a game changer in Roto.
He could. Is he still on pace for almost 300?
Almost. I think he's on pace for almost. I think he's a little short.
All right. Who's the pitcher that goes off the board after those first four? Is it Noah Syndergaard, Jose Fernandez, or Steven Strasburg?
I'm going to lean Fernandez on this when you take the innings concerns out of the equation. And I imagine the Marlins will just turn him loose next year.
Yeah.
More than a year back from Tommy John surgery at that point. I mean, nobody approaches his strikeout rate.
Except for Robbie Ray,
right. It's the one who comes the closest. So Fernandez might be the guy we're talking about as a 300 strikeout pitcher. He's actually pretty not far off pace himself.
He might end up with like 260 strikeouts and 190 innings or something this season.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable.
Right.
Which lefty would you rather have, the always reliable John Lester or the potential ace, Danny Duffy, who is the number 16 pitcher in rotisserie leagues this season, despite not becoming a starter until, what, June?
Wow, that's amazing.
Yep, he's one spot behind John Lester for the season.
I'll give Lester the edge here, but that's just kind of a playing it safe pick. Duffy may have more upside.
Okay, let's move on to emails. Like I said, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com is the email address. This first one is from Antoine in his head-to-head categories league, currently in second place. Gary Sanchez just became catcher eligible. He has Real Muto also. Should I drop Real Muto for Addison Russell or Justin Upton?
I don't know. I mean, it depends, obviously, how much of a need you have at shortstop, second base, or outfield.
Yeah.
If it's just to put another guy on your bench, I don't know that I would, because catcher's been such a hard position to fill,
and
Sanchez could suffer a freak injury.
And that's what he says. The only reason I don't want to drop Ramuto is also to prevent other teams in his league from getting a top-tier catcher.
Yeah, playing defensively like that. Unless I liked Russell or Upton so much that I was ready to put them in my lineup immediately, I probably wouldn't make this move.
Okay, next email from Andrew. Bubba, Devon, and Spike. I believe that's the Dudley brothers. The Dudley boys?
Okay.
I believe that's a WWE thing.
All right. That is not my expertise.
Heath would know. He has been rostering Billy Hamilton for steals. He just picked up Keon Broxton. Does that mean Hamilton is droppable for the rest of the season? I don't think so.
No.
Billy Hamilton has been really good lately.
Yes.
He has been the Billy Hamilton of the Billy Hamilton who was foretold by the elders.
And that's actually something I might look at for next year as well. Will Billy Hamilton finally deliver that
313
80 steal season? I think he's on pace for 70.
He's hitting 313 with a 392 on base percentage since the All-Star break. He is walking a lot. He only walked 15 times in 65 starts in the first half of the season, already up to 17 in 32 games.
And his ground ball percentage is way up this year, too, which is obviously a very good thing for somebody as fast as he is. I think I'm believing he's going to hit for a high enough average now to get the absolute most out of his speed, and that's a good thing. That would make a must-start at every format. I know he's been banged up recently, so maybe that's what's influencing the thinking here, but you don't want to drop Billy Hamilton.
All right, John writes in, is it worth dropping Evan Gattis for Gary Sanchez?
Yes, it is.
Kind of
on the same level as Real Muto.
Okay. Dave writes in, no time for small talk. DL hit hard with only two spots, and he's got Strasburg, Guerra, McCullers, and Joe Ross. Are any of them droppable in a 10-team league where he's in first? I think there are two that are droppable.
Well, we might disagree on the two.
Okay. Joe Ross, I think, is the obvious one.
Yes.
I would say Guerra.
Okay.
I know he's closer to coming back than McCullers.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just rather hang on to McCullers for the upside.
McCullers isn't even ready to
throw
yet. Yeah. And I mean, if we're there with 5 weeks to go,
yeah,
I'm thinking there's just not enough time for him to make a... He might get back and make a start or two.
Okay.
But with the control issues he was having before then, I wouldn't trust him for those one or two without some kind of build-up to that. So, I think Guerra's still playing. I'm not saying you can't drop Guerra in a 10-team league, but since you have the DL spot anyway, I'd rather hold on to him.
Okay, and the guys he could pick up on waivers, Reynaldo Lopez, Yordano Ventura, and Matt Boyd. How would you rank those three?
Well, let me just add that in a 10-team league, I'm not sure any of them are really worth owning, and maybe you should just put one of these DL guys on your bench.
Okay.
But especially, you know what? Guerra's going to be back very soon.
Yeah.
He's not going to be eligible for your DL spot anymore. Yeah. So you can maybe have the best of both worlds, hold on to McCullers, and not worry about these other three. But I would rank them Ventura, Lopez, Boyd if you're absolutely dead set on picking one up.
All right, Colin writes in, he's got a 12-team head-to-head league. Should he use his waiver claim to pick up Alex Bregman? And if so, which one of Marcell Ozuna, Hunter Pence, Carlos Gonzalez, Justin Upton, Gregory Polanco, and David Dahl would you drop?
I would pick up Bregman. I would drop maybe...
Oh, it's tough.
That is tough. I don't really want to drop any of them. I think the two, well, definitely not Cargo, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think you could drop Dahl as hot as he is. I don't think you want to drop Pollock either. So it's between Ozuna, Pence, Upton, and Polanco.
And Polanco's been pretty bad for a while.
Yeah, Ozuna's been pretty bad for a while.
Ozuna's been an all-or-nothing power hitter for a while.
If it's a points league, I think I lean Ozuna here. I know Pence has been kind of unstartable since returning, but I feel like it's a strong track record from him, and a strong track record of playing, of rebounding from injury quickly, too. So I still have a lot of confidence in him rest of season. I think Ozuna is who I lean toward here.
Okay, I want to check one thing. Okay, Sean in Kingston, Ontario. Fred, Shaggy, and Scooby. He's in a daily head-to-head 5x5 categories league with a late trade deadline. He's wondering if he should try to acquire another starting pitcher. Right now, he has Chris Sale, Corey Kluber, Danny Duffy, Stephen Wright, Dylan Bundy, and Blake Snell. Should he look to add another starting pitcher, or do you feel comfortable with that team?
I feel like, that top three, Kluber, Sale, and Duffy, is better than what most of the league can offer, and Wright and Bundy, 4 and 5, are perfectly fine. There is a lack of depth here because I don't feel like Snell is particularly startable right now. So, you know, I'd like to have other guys to mix in when Bundy and Wright have one-start weeks. Maybe Maybe the answer... well, it is a categories league, so that makes it a little different than a points league. Not as big of a need for two-star pitchers, particularly if you're doing okay in wins and strikeouts. You know what? I think I'm going to back out and just say he's probably fine here. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to add a pitcher, but not if you're really sacrificing in an area where you also need to... that's also a need for you categorically.
All right, and last one. Chuck in Brentwood, Tennessee, has a little bit of trivia for us. He wants to see how sharp Scott White is.
Oh, boy.
Who has the fewest RBI? Chris Davis, Paul Goldschmidt, Addison Russell, or Matt Kemp?
Chris Davis with a C or K?
K.
The fewest, and what are the choices again?
Chris Davis, Paul Goldschmidt, Addison Russell, and Matt Kemp.
Well, it's definitely not Kemp. I'm going to guess it's not Goldschmidt either, but I'm not sure about him. I think it's Chris Davis with a K.
It's Paul Goldschmidt.
Wow.
Even after three RBI last night, he only has 76 on the season. That is four behind Addison Russell. Three behind Chris Davis.
And he's only on like a 25-homer pace, and yet I think he's a top 10 hitter in points league still, and probably Roto too, since he also is on pace for 25 steals.
Yeah.
So
it's just not... Chuck wants to say it's not an indictment of Goldschmidt, more an acknowledgement of how Addison Russell has gone a bit under the radar. So
yeah, he does have good RBI total, but he actually hasn't. I think
only
I had
13
a chance to
home
look
runs.
This up. Russell?
Yeah.
Only
right.
No, he's up to 18 now.
Oh, okay. Don't listen to me.
But he's only.
It's a good thing that's at the end of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody, stop listening now. In points leagues, I'm going to pull it up really quickly here.
Really quickly, come on.
He's 15th among shortstops in points leagues, even with the 18 home runs and the 80 RBI. So, A, it's a very deep position. B, he still needs to work on that plate discipline.
Okay, that's going to do it for Tuesday's episode of the Daily... Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. I'm on too many podcasts, Scott.
Apparently.
That's the thing.
Can't keep them straight.
I'm going to be on the football podcast starting in a couple days. Basketball's coming back. There's so many podcasts.
You're just
Scott.
Mr. Podcast.
I am the podcasting person.
Podcasting kind of fool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We got to stretch our legs out a little bit after yesterday's. We really need to end this podcast.
Yeah, just end it.
Trouble.
Just end it. We're
this is wow. We'll
crashing and burning at the end.
We'll
here.
See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye. Don't let the bait that scare ya. Machado or Bono.